Good morning, everyone. Everyone turning their Bibles to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. We'll be continuing in Keach's catechism. We'll be looking at question number 22 this morning. And we'll still be talking about original sin. But this morning we're going to be transitioning into the doctrine of soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. And we're going to be talking this morning about a controversial topic called total depravity or total inability because of Adam's first sin and the condition of where we fell into that sin. Our question this morning is, wherein consists the sinfulness of that estate whereunto man fell? Answer being, the sinfulness of that estate unto where man fell consists of the guilt of Adam's sin, the want of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature because of, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from that original sin. And I want you to pay attention to these points right here in the answer. The guilt, which could also be construed as the shame of it as well. Original righteousness, which is desire to get back to that place. The corruption of his whole nature, and how because of that one sin, sin keeps compiling on top one another. And before we pray this morning, I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 3 and kind of go over those points in the fall right here before we pray and get into the study. This is kind of outside the lines of what the catechism gave, but I thought it was pertinent to look at. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And this is after they both partook of the apple. And it says, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron." You can see the guilt and the shame right there of what they just did. They realized it. They knew they were naked. They tried to cover their sins. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." You can see the shame again right there. They didn't want to face him. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Whenever sin comes into the presence of God, there's fear. You notice Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he said he's seen the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, "Woe unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips." He understood that sin cannot stand in the presence of God. He understood the wrath that was about to fall upon him. But the angel came and took a pair of tongs and took the coal from the altar and touched his lips, being a metaphor of God covering sin for those whom he has called. Verse 11 says, "And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, Not my fault, Lord. It's the woman that you gave me." Blame shifting. He could have owned up to it right then and there. But sin keeps compounding one on top of another. You can see how his whole nature right here was corrupted by that one infraction. Verse 13, "The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, It was the serpent." Whenever the law is brought before our face, if we have not been humbled by our sin, if we have not come to the realization of what Christ did to pay the high price, we'll always blame someone else. We'll never stand accountable. We are a corrupt people. There is none righteous, no, not one. Without the blood of Jesus covering us, there is no hope. Let's ask God's help before we go any further this morning. Lord, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you came and you did make a way, Father. Because we were a hopeless people in Adam, Lord. There's only two representatives for mankind, Lord. There's Adam and there's Christ. There's no do-overs. When we're born into sin. We're not given the opportunity that Adam was given to keep the law. We were already corrupted from the womb, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would help us understand this study this morning, Lord. In Christ's name we do ask it. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 5 this morning. We'll talk about that one point right there I just made in the prayer, that how there are only two representatives in mankind. There's Adam and there's Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. And we read this last week and the week before. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners." By that one transgression that we just read of in Genesis chapter 3, all of mankind fell because of that one act. "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Notice that it does not say all, but it says many. So by the Lord Jesus Christ coming, taking on human flesh, accomplishing the law perfectly, many will be made righteous by one man's act of obedience, just as everyone fell under one man's act of disobedience. Turn to Romans chapter 3, a page back. And we'll see here that of Adam's offspring, there is none righteous. Simple little verse here. Verse 10, it says, "As it is written," meaning previously written in the Old Testament, "there is none righteous, no, not one." Let's read further. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." How can we be made righteous even though we have sinned, but now we can do good? The balances still will not be equal. The price must be paid for the previous sin, even if you could live perfectly after this. God demands absolute perfection. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll see the hopelessness of this condition. Being dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and he says, "And you hath he quickened," meaning God, "who were dead in our trespasses and sins." Because of that condition of original sin, because of that place of total inability, we were dead. We cannot respond. There's nothing righteous that we could do. We just read in Romans chapter 3 that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Does that mean just the evil and wicked, or does that mean every one of us? Brothers and sisters, that means every one of us. If God does not intervene in the salvation of a soul, that soul does not get saved. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. The prophecy of the suffering servant. And we read this verse last week as well, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, speaking of Christ, the iniquity of us all. Notice the very first word in that verse. It doesn't say some. It does not say most. It says all. Every last one of us. If you're in this house this morning and you are saved, you didn't do it. The Lord Jesus Christ, out of his mercy, not because of anything that you've done, not because he looked through the corridors of time and seen that you would receive his gift of salvation, truly by mercy and grace do you stand in righteousness because of what he did this morning, not because of anything that you have done. Look at Psalms chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Notice here, in the womb at conception, not 9 months later at birth, but during conception, shapen in iniquity, formed. Sin already permeating through my body when I was not even fully yet formed in the womb. Notice, I did not, or you did not, become a sinner at birth. You were made a sinner because of what Adam did. That one transgression. All mankind fell because of that one transgression, that representative that is Adam. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Lord Jesus speaking here about this sin and how far the sin goes, how it's permeated throughout the whole body. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, we'll see here that our nature is sin. Jesus saying here, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Jesus speaking here about the condition of a man's heart, not talking about the outward things that he can accomplish by religious tradition. Because so many people look at religious traditions and showing up to church, doing certain things, reading their Bible, prayer time, which in and of itself is all good, but those things do not make us righteous. Only Christ's blood makes us righteous. Look at Romans chapter 5. And we'll transition from the sinful part of us right now and look at the glorious one, the one who paid the price for our sins. Look at verse 6 in chapter 5. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Talking about that place of total inability to where we couldn't come to him because we had no strength. We could not pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. I don't care if the Apostle Paul preached the sermon in front of us, one of the greatest preachers that ever walked this earth aside from Christ. If it would not be for the movement of the Holy Ghost in a man's heart, he can't hear. Amen. Verse 6, I'm sorry, yeah, verse 6 again. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, One of my favorite phrases in the Bible. Because you always find a place of hopelessness, but when you hear that term right there, but God, there's hope. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I'm not 100% sure, but if we're continuing on the path where Brother Jimmy's been preaching this morning, we're going to talk. We're going to learn about reconciliation. Indeed. To wit, God being in Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself. He came and paid the price. He came into our hopeless state. He's the one that did it. He's the one that deserves the glory. He's the one that deserves the honor. And as I stated earlier, if you're in Christ this morning, it's not because of anything you did. It's because of his passion. It's because of his mercy. It's because of his grace that he would even look upon us, those of us who shook our fist at him and wanted nothing to do with him. In that condition, he died for me. I am so unworthy of that. Amen. Let's close this morning looking at John chapter 3. And I'll give a gospel call this morning in this. John chapter 3, verse 16, we all know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We all know this by heart. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Basically, the meaning here means that he is trying to be made right by his own righteousness. He's not looking to Christ as his righteousness. He thinks he can keep the rules. He thinks that God's going to grade him on a curve. He thinks that he is good enough to merit salvation. False doctrine. You will die in your sins that way. You must turn to Christ. You must turn away from your self-righteousness. You must turn away from your law-keeping to be made righteous and have the righteousness of Christ, which only God accepts. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that word right there, wrought in God, means that they are done. They are accomplished in God, not the person. If you're outside of Christ this morning, I call you to repentance. Be ye reconciled to God. Turn away from darkness and turn to the light. Do not be deceived by the evil one that whispers in your ear that, hey, you're good enough. You're not bad as this guy over here. You will die in your sins if you believe that lie. You must have the righteousness of another, and that other is Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, we do thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this truth, dear God, that you came and you died for wicked sinners, Lord. I am one of those wicked sinners. And I thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy and your grace upon me, Lord. I pray that you would shower out your mercy and grace upon those in this church, Lord, and those who will hear from sermon audio or over Facebook this morning, Lord. If there be one loss that heard this message this morning, Lord, please pierce their heart. Bring them to an understanding that they are a lawbreaker and they have no hope outside of you. Convict them of sin, of judgment and righteousness. Lord, save their souls. be with us for the rest of the day. In Christ's name we do pray it. Amen.